showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined, as I have been most days for the past year, by my daughter producer Sam.
Yeah, where's my present?
It is the one-year anniversary of the BS Show. Well, we're going to get to that,
gift.
Sam. We are joined by, we're thrilled to be with us since the beginning, Michael Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryan is with us. I'm glad you could find time to join us, and you do look great, by the way.
Thank you.
Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press, business and leisure attorney Jeff O'Brien, and Dan Schwartz from Liftbridge. Can't wait to try that root beer. Jeff was raving about it, so we're going to pop the, well, I say cork, but it's not a cork, pop the lid on that thing. I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard, to Tom Bernard Digital Radio Network, for inviting us to be part of the network exactly 1 year ago. Thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System, MyPillow, Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, Thomas Brand Homes, and Frontiersman. Walk in, mention the BS Show, get 5% off a used gun. And, it is the first year anniversary, and the year has flown by. Sam was just a 20-year-old when we started.
I was just a baby.
That's right, she's 21.
Now she's 21
now. Now legal.
Still boozing up.
Yeah. She is still boozing it up, yes.
You had quite the boozing stories.
Oh, no.
Well, we have one we could tell, but she doesn't
no,
want me to tell about
gonna
it.
We're not going to tell that boozing story.
I'm gonna tell it without telling it. Sam had a little too much to drink at the horse show.
See, you're going to tell it
no,
just
I'm
by not
telling
it.
Let's just say
this
that...
This is the most recent one?
Yes, the next morning, Dad had to get a hose out and do some cleanup.
See, now wow. You just told the whole story.
So, too much drinking at a horse show. Is that a lot of drinking?
No, like, you know what happened?
Too much drinking at stand-up Frank's?
Well,
too much drinking at church?
It was too much mixed drinking, because what did you have that night? You had scotch?
Oh, my gosh.
Tequila?
Scotch. Okay, so I spent all day, like, I've never really drank at all. And then I spent all day drinking those Mike's Cold Hard Lemonades or whatever. So I drank those. I drank five of those throughout the day. And then the evening comes, and I drank, a friend of mine mixed up a drink, and I was like, oh, I'll have that. And so his drink apparently was like about like three shots of tequila worth with some ginger ale on top. Mm. So I drank that, and then I drank another one. And then a friend of mine, so at this point I'm doing pretty good. And then a friend of mine, felt like I was doing okay. And then a friend of mine made me eat a ham sandwich and drink a bottle of Gatorade. She's like, you're not going to feel good. You need to eat something. You need to drink something. I was like, okay. So I did that. And then another friend of mine had me taste her scotch. And it tasted awful, and it spurred this, like, I threw up everywhere.
Let's just say she is her mother's daughter.
You throw scotch on top of any of that. Scotch and Gatorade.
But it was awful because I threw up, and it was like this pink ham mess.
I just remember, she wasn't there, obviously, on my wedding night. The last words I said to my wife as I guided her to the shower was, don't forget to wash the puke out of your hair.
Wow.
So, because she had a little bit of, she was, when we were driving back to the hotel, she had like a puppy, had her face out of the window and catching snatches of air. So it's a Wisconsin thing. There's no question about it, for that. But, I mean, it is an exciting day because, like I said, it is our first year anniversary, and it has been a fun year. We hope for many, many more of them. And I wanted to ask Kevin. Kevin did something very nice for us. You did Kevin does the loop at the Pioneer Press, and you've
I came up with a special list. You know, as you said, years flown by.
Yes.
And I put together a list of the top 10 ways the world was different before you created the BS Show.
Okay.
Do
we have a drum roll?
I don't have, should have gotten me ready. Yeah, we got
there
a drum roll. There's your drum roll.
Number 10, Minnesota had a major league caliber baseball team.
Oh, good job, Dad.
That's fair.
Number 9, Jesse Ventura was busy figuring out how to spend $1.8 million in widow money. Number 8, people could occasionally decipher the sounds coming out of Sid Hartman's mouth. Only a year ago.
That's very true.
Number 7. You could say something as innocuous as all lives matter without starting an international incident. Number 6. Gary Anderson was the most ridiculed kicker in Vikings history. All the way back.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Number five, television networks sometimes produced miniseries that were not about O.J. Simpson. Hmm. Number four, the state's top seller of Xanax was the Gopher wrestling team. Number three, police confrontations usually took place off camera.
Yeah.
Number two, if you wandered the streets looking for Pokemon, your search would end in a mental institution.
That's a good drum roll.
The biggest change since 1 year ago, yeah. Donald Trump had no possible chance of winning the presidency.
That's a good. Thank you for that, Kevin.
It's good.
See, it's amazing. Just in 1 year, yeah. All that's changed.
Now, we're going to take a break in a second, but I want to ask all five of you, were any of you on 35 during the protest?
Yep.
So nobody got stuck in that, yeah. No. How long did it last? Sam, you were on the air at the time, right?
Yeah,
like
it did.
45 minutes,
yeah,
I think.
I think that it lasted at least
an
hour.
Did they arrest him or just disperse?
They said 2 hours and the road was closed.
Okay, 2 hours,
so
yeah.
As I said, about 45 minutes and they started making arrests.
Good.
Where on 35 was it?
It was right at university.
It was 45 minutes too long before they started making arrests.
Yeah, I mean, the police are trying to be respectful, but there's certain things. When you block a highway like that, you got to get them out of there.
In the middle of morning rush hour.
Wait until some of them find out what it's going to cost them to get their car out of the impound lot.
Yeah. Oh, they did it with cars?
They blocked with cars in front
and
behind.
They blocked three cars, yeah.
And then I had seen something one of the TV stations posted that they sent tow trucks down. That was
to
move the cars.
So because I was wondering why they were sending tow trucks, and then I found out that they had the cars there. We had somebody call into our radio station screaming at me as if I was on the road protesting at that moment. No, they were yelling at me like I was the one standing on the street. They were like,
they were people your age.
Yeah, they were yelling at me.
You millennials, you know what the problem is? All of you grew up with that silver spoon where they don't keep score. Everybody's a winner. You need your little quiet time.
Well, when I'm sitting on air in a little studio in St. Louis Park producing a conservative news talk station, don't yell at me about standing on 35W.
Do these people get a participation ribbon?
They will.
I think that'd be great.
Will.
Now, Michael, has your firm gotten any calls from the last group of protesters? Because they have to be defended,
no,
right?
No, nothing. I think they're either handling it themselves or there's just a couple people that are helping them for part of the whole deal. I mean, the whole geographics of this thing's been tough because where it happened, they didn't have a natural police station to go stand at.
Yep.
That's why they went to the mansion. And because there was no place to go. They couldn't go to St. Paul. They couldn't go to Minneapolis. They'd say, who cares? And so they went to the mansion, and now apparently they've decided to take out that area of the town because they were 94 this weekend. It's crazy. And those cops getting hurt on 94, the guy who crushed his vertebrae.
He was a concrete.
Well, it was nice.
It
though,
makes
was,
no sense.
You know,
no.
There was no greater shows of diversity this last week or two than Saturday night because the idiots that were throwing the bricks and stuff onto the road were a wonderful mix of every race, creed, and color. Mm. It was just basically all the anarchists with their... they had bandanas on around their face or whatever, and they were just chucking bricks. Channel 5 had it on the air.
One of the nice things to see is what happened in Dallas, where Sam should be, I don't know where, she stepped out for a second. Timing impact. Sam, somebody's calling.
She's blocking a road someplace.
Yeah. Why don't you go right out the block?
She's fighting the power.
Well, it's one that there was a group of blacks on one side of the street and whites on the other protesting each other. Then the blacks went across the street, and they said a few words, and they all started hugging. And then the cop who was keeping them separated got into a group hug. It was wonderful to see.
Where
and
was
it was
this?
In Dallas.
Because
there were it all was in reaction.
The problem
to
with these protests isn't so much the people originally doing the protest. The problem is now they attract all these anarchists and just dipshits that join in just to cause trouble. And when Dallas happened, when it first broke, we were talking in the newsroom, and I raised the possibility that what is the chance that this is just some lone wolf terrorist who decides, hey, this is a good opportunity to kill off some cops?
Yeah.
And what turns out, it wasn't that far from the truth.
No.
It wasn't a Islamic sympathizer or whatever, but it was basically a guy who was planning something, and then all of a sudden said, oh, wait, there's going to be all these cops here like sitting duck.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But I think you're going to see people taking advantage of these protests continuing just for their own, mayhem.
And
sure.
It's terrible. You know, Sam, we have to get, we're going to talk in a, who is it?
We have Eddie on the phone.
Eddie, how are you?
Bob, how are you? Hey,
doing good.
Congratulations on the 1 year.
I appreciate that, Eddie. Thank you.
Hey, that's just fabulous, and congratulations on the 18 ribbons.
Thank you.
That was nice to see that on Facebook.
I appreciate that.
And I wanted to make one comment, if you don't mind, on this the protest today.
Sure.
I think I've got it figured out, Bob.
Go ahead.
Aren't those Bernie Sanders and Hillary's kids? Because they kind of look like it, you know?
I have doubts that they have procreated, just myself.
I was watching this. I'm like, well, where are all the African-American people? It was all honkies on there.
Eddie, what town are you in today?
I am just left Perham, Minnesota there, Bob.
Okay.
I got 43,000 pounds of dog food.
Oof.
Hey, can you drop some off at our house? We got a lot of.
You know, I was thinking with all the,
yeah, only with
all the dogs
free.
And goats you got.
Yeah, yeah, we got to. It's got to be wheat free. We have some.
Wheat free.
We have some very high maintenance dogs.
Eddie, I appreciate it. I don't mean to hustle you off. We got to get Alan Roach on, the new announcer at US Bank Stadium, is going to be joining us. So
very good.
Thanks
I'll
for
be
calling.
Listening.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks and congratulations again.
Thank you again,
so
Eddie.
Much.
Appreciate that.
All right,
Eddie.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one.
Sam, I'll give you his number in a second, but let's take a quick break. Let's start off. Actually, it's great to have Michael Bryan here because most of the time you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. And for many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. And if you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need to call Bradshaw and Bryant because that basically what you talk about, and it's more than just a slogan. It's justice for the injured, and that's what you do when people don't know where to turn a lot of times when they're in an accident.
Yep.
And never talk to the other people without an attorney. That's what you recommend, right?
You can. It's just that
it's not going to do you any good.
Give you the whole story or give you parts of the story, or they're in it to save money. And if they're in it to save money, you're talking to them on ways to save money.
So, and the good thing is when they contact you, it's not going to be any out-of-pocket expenses.
Nope. No, we talk to people for free all the time.
And you don't make any money unless there's a settlement, unless they do.
Correct.
There's no reason not to pick up the phone and give a call.
Yeah.
Because it's the smart thing to do is to get an attorney. And if you need an attorney, what you want to do is get in touch with Bradshaw and Bryant. They'll use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you're treated fairly. Give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. 800-770-7008. Or visit MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Now, that's the two best ways to get in touch,
yep,
right?
That is.
At MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com or that 800-770-7008 to contact Bradshaw and Bryant. Sam, let's hear from Smart Start and our other friends over at Minnesota Bank and Trust. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Are you looking to buy your first home? Or are you looking to buy your third home? The Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team, with offices in Edina and Stillwater, is able to help you no matter what your situation, whether you're a first-time home buyer or building your real estate portfolio. Their experts can help you find the best loan program for your situation. With interest rates being low, there isn't a better time to buy or refinance than now. You can visit their website, mnbankandtrust.com. That's mnbankandtrust.com. Or call 952-841-9300. That's 952-841-9300. And contact one of their mortgage specialists today to get started on financing your next home. Minnesota Bank and Trust is a member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender. NMLS number 490-951.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do.
We are back. The one-year anniversary show of the BS Show. Joined by Michael Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. Business and Leisure Attorney Jeff O'Brien, who brought in... Thank you for doing that. Dan Schwartz from Liftbridge. Great root beer, by the way. Very tasty. Appreciate that.
Awesome. Thanks.
We'll be talking to Dan in a little bit about that. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. Thank you for the top 10 loop list. Now, this is, have you ever done a loop list that didn't appear in the paper or online? You got to get that online.
No, this is the first special anniversary loop I've ever created.
Well, greatly appreciated. Now, I would say soon you'll be doing a top 10 loop list for the new announcer for the U.S. Bank Stadium, Alan Roach, who is... Alan, when I looked at your resume, it's impressive. You have done, beyond what you're doing in Denver, I mean, you've done major events around the globe.
Oh, I don't have to tell you. You can write anything you want on your resume and make it look good.
That's a good point. Now, now how many Olympics were you involved in?
I leave in a week or so for Rio, and that'll be my first summer games. But I've done 4 winter games before that, so Sochi, Vancouver, Torino, Salt Lake.
Everything all right there?
my wife just said sorry. I believe she fell off the ladder. I have
a his wife just found out he's going to Zika land.
Do you want to put us on hold and call 911?
No, we're all good here.
Okay. Now, Alan, as I talk to you, how could you ever get a job as an announcer with that voice? Now you've got the great pipes today. Were you like a kid when you had a voice like, you know, when did the voice come into some sort of form like it is now?
I don't remember, but it was teens somewhere, junior high school, because I remember being a kid and answering the phone, and someone would call the house, and I'd say hello, and they would think I was my mom, and I used to hate that. It drove me crazy. I'm like, why do they? And my mom has a beautiful, normal woman's voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that drove me to probably picking this up, and I don't know where it was, but somewhere in high school, I actually started in radio in high school in Brainerd at the Power Loon.
Oh, is that what it was called, a Power Loon?
Well, it was KLIZ.
Okay.
Then I think it's Power Loon now. I don't know what it is.
Now, did you know early on, as you'd say when you were a teenager, that radio or some sort of some business where you can use your voice was what you wanted to do?
I wanted to be in the FBI or maybe a park ranger in Yellowstone. And then, like, when I was, a junior in high school, I had to go to the radio station for a school project and record, I don't know, pieces of like a JFK speech or something for a class project. And I went in the radio station and spent 15 minutes in the production studio recording it. And I walked out, and the owner of the station in Brainerd was standing there. And he's like, hey, who are you? Well, would you like to work here?
Is that right?
Like, sure. So I started running Twins games on the network, you know, just playing commercials in between innings and stuff, and then started playing some music, and eventually started doing sports in the morning in Brainerd, and yeah, started in high school. I was like, wow, they pay you to do this? I'm in.
Well, what did you do much in Minnesota before you went out to Colorado? What did you do? What was your last job here?
Well, not a whole lot. Brainerd, the radio station in Brainerd. I went to college for 1 year in Marshall at Southwest State, and worked a little bit in the radio stations down there, but that was all. And then I took off on my weird tour, which included Garden City, Kansas, and Fort Dodge, Iowa, and fabulous vacation spots like that.
And you do in Colorado, how many of the teams do you do?
Other than the Nuggets, I've done them all at one point. I did the Rockies from their first day in 93. I did that for 14 years till 06. I've done
the Avs, right?
The Broncos and the Avalanche since 99. And I just started doing the Rapids, the MLS team this year. And I have not done Nuggets.
When you got contacted, did you contact the Vikings, or did they come to you?
Well, it's kind of been a love affair for me. I mean, to dream that I could ever do what I do here and do it at home for the team that I grew up loving. You know, I've known some people at the Vikings and known some people in the organization. I got to meet a lot more. In fact, I got to meet Mark Wilf in London a couple years ago when the Vikings played the Steelers there. And you know, everyone's always known. Every time I've ever met anyone from the Vikings, I always would say, you know, hey, if you ever need a PA announcer, you know where to find me.
So that it really just happened out of that, which is it was not a tough decision to leave Colorado. I mean, you live there still, right? You'll come.
Yeah, and it's bizarre how it all came together, because I've done radio here. I've been on the news talk sports radio station here for 25 years. It's called KOA, and I was just told exactly a year ago, after being there for 25 years, sorry, we don't have enough money in our coffers, and your job's been eliminated. Yeah. Imagine that happening in radio.
Yeah.
So I was told that I didn't have a job in radio anymore, so my full-time job is gone. And so that opened up the availability for me to, you know, bounce around and travel and do stuff. That's why this is my first Summer Olympic Games, because I, you know, didn't have enough vacation to take and do that stuff. So now this is what I'm trying to make my career of, is just bouncing around the world doing pretty cool sports events.
Now, you don't sound like a guy that does a lot of whiz-bang type of announcing. You keep it fairly straight. I mean, are you somewhere between Bob Shepard, who was the great Yankee and Giants announcer, and who? I mean, because he was very... He didn't use a lot of words, but it was phenomenal hearing
formal,
his voice.
Very formal, real.
Yeah.
Bob Casey, and I'm not, obviously my voices and Bob's are much different, but Bob Casey was my influence. I mean, that's who I grew up listening to, going to Twins games. And actually, when I started doing the Rockies, I invited Bob Casey out one time when the Twins were here to announce the Twins starting lineup here at Coors Field, and that was awesome. Loved Bob Casey. And so his Kirby Puckett thing is kind of what started me off on the way I announced baseball. And as far as what my style is, I would say it's certainly not anywhere near Bob Shepard. It's much more up-tempo. But it's, you know, I've done this a long time, so I try and match the intensity of what it should be. Well, and being inside that stadium with 80,000 people, there's going to be some intensity.
Well, have you been practicing your Adrian Peterson?
No, because I'm terrified. Honestly, I mean, it's such a dream come true for me, and it's so cool. And I did get to announce Adrian in London at Wembley Stadium, and that was fantastic. But you know, to do it every day, no, I'm kind of afraid to practice, and that's kind of the way I've been all my career. Is I don't really practice how I'm going to say stuff. I just let it happen.
So you'll win,
and then it kind of becomes, you know, tradition or whatever.
Now, are you going to hit? You mentioned Bob Casey was an influence. Let's hear your no smoking.
No smoking. No smoking in the Metrodome.
That's pretty good, actually.
I have a question. What are you going to be doing at the Rio Olympics besides drinking bottled water?
And slathering on the mosquito stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm doing boxing. Mm-hmm. Boxing is in Baja. And it's a long event. It runs every day of the games, and like the first 10 or 11 days are like 10 and 11 hour days. A lot of matches, but should be fabulous. Boxing isn't huge in the U.S. anymore. It's probably, though, one of the favorite sports in Brazil.
So what will you be working for the network, or you'll be announcing who the fighters are?
Yeah, I'll be announcing in the arena.
You're the ring announcer.
Are you gonna... But I won't be in the ring with the mic coming down out of the ceiling. I actually sit on the side.
Are there actually seats for you? I heard they still haven't put seats in the arenas yet.
Oh, man, you wouldn't believe the things you hear about Rio. And I've been through that. You know, Sochi, it was, oh, man, there's stray dogs running everywhere. There's brown water coming out. None of the hotels are finished. Don't go to Sochi. It's horrible. Sochi was the most fabulous Olympic experience I've ever had. It was terrific.
Rio will be an experience.
Yeah, and I just talked actually with someone in Rio yesterday, and they're like, yeah, it's still chaos here, and they say it will be all taken care of, but you know, have my doubts.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have to be staying pretty near the boxing arena because of the traffic issues they're anticipating.
Yeah. Well, and
they might have you in the arena with a cot.
Yeah, that's, and I may end up doing that. That's my concern because I'm told, or the last I heard more than a month ago was that I was staying in a hotel in Copacabana. That sounds fantastic. I'm in a hotel in Copacabana. The problem is Baja, with traffic, can be more than 2 hours away from there. Mm. When you have an 11-hour day and 2 hours on each side in a car with Portuguese-speaking people you can't understand, that becomes long days.
Well, I just recall seeing a story a few weeks ago where the train ends about 5 miles short of the venues.
Yeah, and you know, we heard that stuff about Sochi, and we heard that stuff about Torino as well. And
really?
They all got it figured out. It seems like in the last, you know, month or the last couple of weeks, the Olympic Committee throws millions and millions of dollars at all the problems, and they try and get them figured out. So hopefully that's the case here, too.
Well, for the sake of the athletes and people like you that are there, let's hope.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Although it's a hell of a story for us to make fun of back here if it's not.
Well, I can call you and give you a report someday if
that
you
would
want.
That'd be terrific, Al. I think that would be a lot of fun. So, all right, now, what you are doing the very first exhibition game, and you'll do, obviously, all the other games. So what's the date of that first exhibition? I don't remember what it is. It's August, obviously.
Yeah, I fly from Rio to Minneapolis.
Oh,
obviously not direct,
wow.
But... yeah, the first preseason game against Chargers is August 28th. And oddly enough, for a preseason game, it's a Sunday noon kickoff.
Oh wow.
It must be. I think it probably is some sort of network television game, but
yeah.
I don't know for sure.
From the first stadium. Well,
yeah.
It's exciting, and I'm looking forward to meeting you. And you do have the pipes. There's no doubt about it.
You got to let me do this. I have dreamed of doing this as well since I was probably 14 years old. For 22 years, Minnesota's home of rock and roll, KQRS, Golden Valley, Minneapolis, St. Paul,
nice.
KQ.
That's terrific. You know, I'm going to...
Tom better watch out for his job.
No, I'm going to tell Tom that, you know, to mention him, we should have you as a guest on the morning show.
Absolutely.
I got to meet Tom when I was working in radio, like in Fort Dodge, Iowa or something, and Tom was this, you know, huge idol, most successful radio guy in the world at KQ. I met him in Grandview Lodge in Brainerd. Nice.
That's neat. You know what we'll do is I'll have Sam take that clip. You know, actually, you know what, Sam? What's that? What's the app? He can call into the app and put it on there.
It's I'm not totally familiar with it. I think that it's the app for Tom's podcast.
Yeah, it's the app. Yeah.
You could get it off of the website, right? Well, yeah. If you go to Tom Bernard, go to TomBernardPodcast.com.
Or I think if he searches Tom Bernard podcast, Tom Bernard Show on the App Store.
Yeah.
Then there's an Tom has an app for
his
podcast.
He has his own app.
No, he has a new app because he's on Westwood One. And what you could do is you could leave messages on the app,
and it's extremely high quality. So you can leave him that message.
You should leave him that message.
I should find out what justice for the injured sounds like here.
Actually, you know what? Why don't you say Bradshaw and Bryant, justice for the injured.
Bradshaw and Bryant, justice for the injured.
That was amazing.
Nice.
We will put that as the tag on your. That's Michael Bryant for Bradshaw and Bryant. We'll throw that as
a
tag.
I'm talking monkey. Give me something else to say. Come on.
I gotta have you on my show.
Sam does. She produces a morning show, AM 11:30, on iHeart.
We'd love to have you on if you're if I can.
If you wake up early,
yeah.
You guys are gonna have to talk to my agent, but she's on the roof right now fixing some shingles.
We gotta make sure she doesn't fall off again.
You put her back up there. After
you fell off the ladder.
Wow. What a lady.
Alan, you're my kind of guy because Mary does all of the repairs at our place. Because I have no... When I was in school, and I don't know if any of you did it. You might have done this, Mike, because in Jersey, and you were in Rhode Island, they had the... was it the military aptitude test that we had? Armed Forces aptitude test.
Yeah.
Well, I got a 12 on mechanical inclination out of 100.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow. And my son is, fortunately, he didn't get my skill set because he's going to go to school to be a diesel mechanic. He can fix just about anything. So, yeah, things were a little rough for me. But it's great having you on, and I look forward to talking to you and meeting you again. And you should, if you get a chance to put that on the app, Tom would love to hear that. And I'll mention to him to get you on the morning show, too.
All right. Great. Look forward to meeting you guys. And from now on, Bob, I'm going to call you 12. You got for your aptitude score.
Oh, 12.
Nice.
I appreciate 12. That. 12. Thanks so much for that, Alan. Now, do we have Sam? Let's give him something to say about the BS show.
I don't know. You don't have a tagline. It just is what it is.
Listen to the BS show.
BS. BS. It is what it is.
I like that. All right, Alan, thank you so much. Have a great
day.
Thank
you, guys.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much, Alan.
All right, Sam.
Bye-bye.
That's a nice guy.
What happened to the announcer that was there?
He was the guy that roamed the stadium. I don't know if they're going to use him in another capacity or not.
Okay.
They might, because he was never in a booth.
Stadium? What?
What's that?
He was never in the booth?
No, he always had a microphone.
He interviewed fans occasionally.
Oh, yeah. I thought that you like meant that. He just wandered aimlessly and didn't do his job.
Well, it's the Vikings. So.
At Fenway Park, there's a guy that supposedly lost his wife in the 50s, and he would come every game and wander the stairs. And like in the 70s, you'd see this old guy just wandering the stairs, and supposedly he lost his wife. So he would wander the stairs every game.
He did looking for his wife.
Yeah, apparently he was looking for his wife ever since she left him.
Yep.
So.
On that wonderful note.
Wow, now I'm super depressed. Thanks.
No, let's take a quick break, Sam. We'll come right back.
Saddest thing I've ever heard.
I want to find out a little bit more about Liftbridge, and I need a break because I need a little more root beer, too, during the break. But let's take a quick break. The BS show, we'll be right back. For years, I was getting a lousy night's sleep. I have sleep apnea, and I wear a CPAP mask. I would be sleeping, and I'd keep waking up because the mask would shift. I talked to Mike Lindell, the owner of MyPillow. He told me about a pillow that MyPillow has that would help, and it has helped. I sleep through the night now. I'm getting the best sleep I've ever gotten, and it's all because of MyPillow. My wife, Mary, has neck issues. She had disc replacement surgery. She now gets uninterrupted sleep because of MyPillow. My kids that use MyPillow, they all love it. If you're looking for uninterrupted sleep, go to MyPillow. Minnesota made MyPillow, the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. It has one of the best warranties of any product you'll ever find, a decade's worth of warranty. I'd like to share the special offer with you. Buy a bed pillow from MyPillow and get one free. That's right, the old buy one, get one, but this is one of the best of them all. Two ways to get the special offer. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code THEBSSHOW. Easy to remember, THEBSSHOW, the name of this show. Or call the special 800 number, 800-320-3501, 800-320-3501. That is for the buy one, get one offer. And we have a very special offer for all of you who purchase and send us a proof of purchase. You will get a t-shirt from the BS show, a BS show t-shirt. All you have to do, like I said, is send us a proof of purchase. You find the information about that on the BSblog.com. I love my MyPillow, and I know you will too. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847, or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com.
Is it getting better? Sing that tune, Bob.
We're back. Very laid back.
It's one.
Now, actually, I want to go back before we talk to Alan Roach, who, by the way, I love those pipes of his. The protest that happened today, I just think it'd be so much more effect. All it does is piss people off when they block roads.
And when they also issued a statement that they wanted the Minneapolis Police Department dismantled.
No, every police department
police
dismantled.
Good luck with that.
But the theory behind protests are you're supposed to piss people off. I mean,
but not like
I agree. I don't like what they did, but if you're going to be effective with the protest, that's what you do.
You know?
But it's the block. I guess if, unless you're blocking something and getting in people's way, then it doesn't. Nobody pays attention.
No, yeah. If you, you had a protest in your backyard, nobody. You know.
You can't be illegally blocking interstates that endanger lives of people who need to get to hospitals.
Absolutely agree. But the reality is, if you're going to do a protest, that's, you know, you
can
take
they,
the consequences.
Can they
of
come
it,
out and protest, you know, my driveway so I can't go to work?
So.
And the reality of it is, part of it is just because of the fact that of all the police brutality cases, a lot of them that turned out to be not what you thought when they initially started, this one was still so ridiculously tragic and so much of a waste that, you know, whether it was the cop purely overreacting or the guy being careless in revealing that he had the gun or whatever, it is still just a tragic, tragic waste of a life of a guy who was, you know, very popular at the school he worked at and stuff. Just an utter tragedy. And the fact that it was on Facebook and everyone got to see those moments.
I've never seen anything
panic,
like it.
Hear the panic in the cop's voice because he knew, man, this is bad. And again, it was pure.
Has he been identified?
Not to backseat drive here, but it seems like obvious panic on the part of the cop because of the fact he shot him four times.
Well, but was it the cop that shot him that kept yelling the F word?
I think so.
It was?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
and
it is.
It sounded like
that.
Was it?
No, the other guy, the victim was just kind of moaning.
No.
There was another cop there.
There were several cops when she was taken out of the car. That's when we heard the F word.
Yeah.
And it sounded like effing idiot, too. Was
yeah.
Well,
they arrested her and put her in jail and held her. And
well, she was in the, yeah. She
no
was,
cause.
When she was sitting in the cop car, you could still hear that audio, and that's when you hear someone, it sounds like F, effing idiot.
But the cop, Officer Yanez, he was visibly shaking. Yeah. In the first shot you saw.
With her video.
On her video. And as I said, so some of the reason that the tensions are so heightened now is because this was such an egregiously tragic case. Not of misconduct by the cop as opposed to him screwing up. It's not like the case in Chicago where the cops shot the guy 17 times. It's not like the case in Charleston where the cop shot the guy just because the guy was faster than him. You know, this was just this should not have ended in gunfire, and the tragedy of that has heightened everyone's tensions to a certain point. But at a certain point, you have to stop the impulse to block interstates every other day.
Yeah, and the point you made is you have to get attention. They got attention. But their message that they were chanting, abolish the police, demilitarize, well, that's absurd.
Yeah,
that just makes you look like a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, I don't understand that whole that part of their requests. But, I mean, I don't. As far as they went, like you said, you're stopping people that could be safety issues, all sorts of problems. It's just that's what protests do. It just the thing that's going to have to start happening though here is if we keep we keep having these protests, and they're not really prosecuting the same way. You know, like the Mall of America, they looked like they're going to be tough, and then they let them all go. And then they had this stuff in Minneapolis, they let them all go. If you're going to really protest and do these things, you got to understand there's going to be consequences that comes with it, too, and that's going to be the battle.
I think the consequences so far have basically been limited to the spin-off violence.
Well, yeah.
And you always have to prosecute that. And again, it's the dichotomy you have within the protest movement. You have the anarchist wing. You have the peaceful, everyday Joe kind of wing. And somewhere in the middle of that, you have Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And to me, looking at it from the outside, they kind of sway back and forth from wanting to be peacemakers to wanting to be... I mean, how many times have we heard, like, the chants about the pigs or whatever? Mm-hmm. And there was some of that Saturday night. Yeah. Now, the Black Lives Matter leadership, for the most part, have tried to distance themselves from that stuff. But, you know, you're going to get painted with a broad brush if you have too many people calling the cops pigs and cheering when they're getting hit with rocks.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's something has to change about how they protest. They need to dial it back a little bit because they're not helping their cause. I mean, do you know anyone who wasn't on that line or many people that didn't think it was absurd? And then to say about the police, to do away with them. We saw how that worked out. In the Old West, it didn't work out with lawlessness. It didn't work out in a lot of communities. I mean, especially in the turn of the century, that's how started as the Black Hand, and that's how the mafia got strong, because they took over entire communities. where people were, you know, were fearful of them. So it's you know, I'm just glad that what we have is some sensibility when we have conventions coming up. And Jeff, you had sent it to me, that story about the fart-in that they're planning to have at the Democratic National Convention. It
gives new meaning to the phrase "feel the burn."
Yeah,
you know? But here's the thing: if you're in Philadelphia, how can you tell if one of those is going on? It's kind of, you're so close to Jersey.
All I ever needed was a few Philly pretzels to get me going.
That's the thing: the conventions this year, the two cities they picked, Philadelphia and Cleveland. Are you kidding me?
Like, why?
Don't you think we have a possibility of a lot of violence at one of those or both of them?
I'm assuming there's going to be some kind of violence
at Cleveland, absolutely, because the anarchists. You've seen this with the Trump campaign in California for the last couple of months. That almost any time there's a violence surrounding a Trump event, it's happening in California, and it's the other side that is provoking the violence, and it's these anarchists. Mm-hmm. You know, the anarchist movement's been going on for years and years and years, and they just kind of go from event to event to event and just cause their mayhem. And they are going to be there in force in Cleveland. I don't know if it's going to be as much. I think in Philly you're going to have protests from, like, the left wing of the Democratic Party against Hillary, kind of like the pro-Bernie thing.
Well, in Philadelphia, actually, I think I saw some story that there's actually they're building some sort of barricade or a wall. So ironically, you got Donald Trump and his wall. The Democrats are actually building a wall around the convention center to prevent, you know, protesters from getting so far, you know, close enough to the actual convention. So it's kind of ironic that they're
what they don't understand is a lot of it will backfire because people will just see it and get pissed off, and probably these protesters might wind up helping Trump. To make him look like a sympathetic character. Yeah. Now, they are going to be
That's
feeding
a lot of work.
But there's he's pretty quiet lately, though. I mean, he hasn't really...
He just called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas.
Well, he's been doing that for a long time.
But still, it's like...
But this is an important issue because I was almost part of a tragedy at the Republican convention when it was here in 08 because I was rushing into the media men's room. And I literally almost ran over George Stephanopoulos.
Oh,
he was almost just like...
He was underfoot?
He narrowly avoided death because I outweigh him about 5-1.
A little bit.
And
yeah. Most people do.
You know, so there's always the possibility of great tragedy, and let's hope cooler heads prevail and people watch where they're going.
I just am going to... You know, that thing about the fart into the convention, it's the Sanders people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are going to do it. They're going to be actually feeding people beans and flatulent... What is a flatulent-inducing vegetable?
Other than...
Depending on your age, almost anything.
Yeah, anything? Vegetables, I don't know.
Is it the fiber in the beans that makes it... I think I don't know.
I think it's hilarious.
We've descended a long way away from the Lincoln-Douglas debate.
Yeah. This is... Yeah, let's...
Now, I wanted to ask... actually, this... I'm a big fan of... It's the first time I've ever had the Liftbridge root beer. Dan Schwartz, you're the owner of Liftbridge, right?
Yeah.
So, you do... How many types of beer do you do? Because you brought some beer, too. And I don't drink beer. Is it pretty good, Kevin?
It's good.
It's tasty. It's tasty.
Yeah, so we do about 25 different beers every year.
Really?
About a quarter of those end up in packaged bottles or cans, and then the rest are just draft-only releases. And then, of course, we do the root beer as well. That's available in draft, and then we sell growlers of root beer out of the tap room.
Jeff represents, what, about 50 different breweries? Every one of them should have their own root beer, being a big fan of root beer. That I am. Are you one of the few that does root beer?
There aren't very many that do it. There are a few others. You know, we all have families, and we really wanted to have an NA option for the kids and other people who didn't want to drink beer. So it's a nice compliment, and it also works in well in our brewing process. It really only takes about a day and a half to make the root beer, so we can squeeze that in at the end of the week. And
now, how many options were there before you came up with Liftbridge?
As far as different names?
Names, yeah.
Or number of breweries?
No, the name.
Oh, we had a few others. We really just wanted something that kind of symbolized Stillwater and was kind of that focal point in the downtown area connecting Minnesota and Wisconsin.
And you have your own pub, too?
We do, yeah. We were the first tap room in Minnesota after that pint law passed about 5 years ago. We were the first ones to open up a tap room in Minnesota.
Was he one of your first clients as one of the first?
I think so.
We were pretty early.
Early on, the first 10.
Well, you must love beer, too.
Huh?
You must love beer to have. And you get you certainly get a good selection.
When you represent that many breweries, you develop a taste for it, yes. Yeah.
Now, Sam, you had a question for him.
Well, you said that you do the donut beer. What was it? The mini donut beer at the State Fair?
Yep.
How much? And you said that you just, I don't know how that works, you just brewed it up this recently?
Yeah, this will be our third year at the State Fair with it. Okay. The first year we brewed about 55, 60 kegs of beer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how much you need to brew in order to stock for the State Fair.
Yeah, and we thought that would be plenty. That was double the number of kegs that the stand had ever sold any year.
Yeah.
And the first day we sold 17 of them. So we realized we weren't going to be we weren't going to make it all the way through.
Oh, no.
So do you have to card people when they come up for a donut?
If you're dunking it in the beer, you probably do.
So, okay, so explain to me how this works, because I haven't seen it. You got the donut on one side, and you sell beer at the donut stand.
Well, this is...
Or are you putting the beer in the donut?
Yeah, this is a special beer we did for the Ballpark Cafe, and basically it's inspired by a mini donut, so it has a lot of the same flavor characteristics.
Oh, it's the flavor of it.
Yeah, so it's got some really bready, malty malts that we used to brew, and then some additional... We rim the glass with cinnamon and sugar, so you get that aroma and that texture. So there are really no mini donuts used in the beer, but we do.
It's a shame you didn't bring any today.
Well, we just
Kevin's off.
We just brewed it this week, so it won't be out for until the State Fair.
Well, was it so popular that you might sell it as a, you know, bottles and cans or just a draft product?
This year we'll probably do several hundred kegs of the beer. That's about what we went through last
several
year.
Several hundred?
Yeah, during the 12 days at the State
Fair. Amazing.
So pretty staggering.
You must be freaking wealthy.
I mean, you must just be rolling it and making it rain.
But it sounds like it almost have like a year-round popularity.
It might. I mean, but the thing is it just really fits well with the State Fair. You know, it's kind of like the deep-fried candy bar. I mean, people don't sell those year-round either. But everybody gets them at that time.
To keep the demand high when it does come out.
Yeah,
that's a good way. Yeah, well, you could find out exactly how many more kegs you might need and how wealthy you'll be from it, because our next guest is psychic Ruth Lorden. She can tell you. Let's take a quick break, Sam, and we'll come right back with Ruth Lorden. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before, many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a SmartStart Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The SmartStart Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a SmartStart system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. SmartStart now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Welcome back. This is the first anniversary show of the BS Show. We're excited to be joined by Michael Bryan from Branch On. Bryan, he's been with us since the beginning. Thank you for that. Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. Business and Leisure Attorney Jeff O'Brien, who represents about 50 breweries, one of them Liftbridge. Dan Schwartz with us from there. And Ruth Lorden, Psychic Ruth Lorden on the line. Ruth, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I want to know where, so I can avoid it, where the next protest is going to be to block roads. What do you think?
Well, it is the non-black allies doing it, not Black Lives Matters. And so far, they're centered in St. Paul. The vibe I get, the next one could be a little bit south of where they are now, a little more south and on the east side, but the next one could get violent. The powers that be, as they say, are getting sick of this.
Well, I think they should be.
And as I say, Black Lives Matter is not doing this. It's their what they call their non-black allies are the ones doing this.
Well, and they have there's members of Black Lives Matter that are not necessarily black, too. That you can, I mean, you can consider yourself a part of the Black Lives Matter movement while also not being black. And that's what I think these people are. So I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but they identify as members of Black Lives Matter.
The overwhelming majority of the people who were arrested Saturday night were of the Caucasian.
Well, somebody did a panoramic view, and everyone in the line was white today. There were the people. Some of the people with the microphones were African American, but it was. I mean, there was not a single minority in that lineup of, and it was mostly women that were in the lineup, and young people, it was millennials, and it's. I have the theory on that too. We talked about it.
They want it to be 1968, protest.
But you didn't keep score when you were a kid. There was no winner, no loser. As you said, you get the participation ribbon. It's millennials like Sam, they've grown up in a very sort of privileged
drinking their scotch and Gatorade.
What do you call that? Where, at colleges now, where you have like a safe zone or like a
safe place
or timeout area.
Like
where you just if
place.
You get a little too stressed, you can
like
just hang
safe
out.
Zones.
It's a safe zone because that's right. Because the people were upset when somebody was writing Trump.
Is Ruth in her safe zone today?
Are you Ruth?
Well, actually, yes, because I'm turning into a chicken. I went to the gym today. And as I was there, there was a man complaining about his car having just gotten robbed in the parking lot of the gym in broad daylight, in Edina, no less. And so I turned around and left. I wasn't going to risk it.
They're even robbing in Edina.
I played it safe.
I didn't realize there were such things in Edina. You don't even have a police department.
Oh, no, last year they had a huge problem with it. It was actually turned out to be gangs.
Really?
Actually, Somali gangs, but they were gangs. And they were robbing the cars, and then some of them got memberships and went inside and were beating up some of the men in the locker room.
Wow. They got memberships to go.
Memberships are not expensive. They have promotions, so they would join so they could have access.
Wow. That's kind of... And then
beat people
awful,
up. But.
What was the name of this place? Al-Qaeda Fitness?
Ruth, give us your vibe of the day.
Productivity at last. The BS has been gathered and put to use as fertilizer for our real life endeavors. Now it's time to rise and shine. Now, there's a temptation to get caught up on the world stage and get behind some cause. Please maintain self-awareness and don't lose sight. A precept from Ashtanga Yoga rings true. When embarking upon this path, it is your responsibility to stay out of poverty. We take care of ourselves and then heal the world.
Well, if you want to get in touch with Ruth, you go to ruthlorden.com @psychicruth. And we got the guy from Liftbridge, Dan Schwartz, here. Your business is doing pretty good, right?
Yeah, we've been growing pretty rapidly.
Now, do you see his donut beer putting him over the top?
What I did see was buyout offers, sellout offers, join-up offers. And I see people coming to want to buy him out, take over. And I see him being very defensive and going, no, that's my company. And just mellow out and play. You've got a good attorney there. Play let's make a deal. I get a psychic feeling that you'll be a one-third partner. There's two other people to join up with. And you'll be a much stronger company and can do really, really well and hit a national thing. But I see people wanting to buy in and join in with you.
Has that started already?
We haven't had anybody approach us, so. But you never know.
Well, for us,
that's going to happen, and that's your lawyer's business. There's three, you know, to put it all together.
Yeah, Jeff, get on that.
Okay.
You've been holding back on him, you know, about these offers? All right, and Ruth tonight, by the way, if you would like to talk to her in person, she will be at the Medina Inn tonight and also tomorrow night.
Cool.
And she did
Well, technically at the Medina Entertainment Center.
Excuse
the Medina
me.
Inn is next door.
Yes, the Medina Entertainment Center. Sorry about that, Ruth.
You don't head over to the inn, do you, Ruth?
Now, and Ruth, by the way, gave a great reading to one of her horses at the show last week, and he's doing much better.
Nice.
Oh, is he happy now?
He's happy that he's with his... he was really sad, and he also had a leg and shoulder injury, but Mary brought over a horse he grew up with. It was his half-brother.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. I'll get the video up. And Sam, you should somehow... Can you post the link to that on the show?
I can, yes.
Okay, we'll post a link to it. Somebody had posted that it was the most amazing horse video they'd ever seen. And what happened is Mary brought the half-brother over, and they just started, like, hugging each other, as you know, as best as horses can do. And it was... I mean, it almost made you a little teary here. This is... you can see it here. That's the two brothers.
Well, you can show it to them after.
I'll show
the show
it to these guys, but I mean, it's and you'll post this. Just how they just, you know, it's like they were so thrilled. They can't hug, even though they got the four hooves. They can't really wrap themselves around each other unless it's a cartoon. But it was really kind of neat. So Ruth, we appreciate that, and have yourself a great day. And I want to say thank you again to Michael Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant, Kevin Cusick from the Pioneer Press. Thank you for the.
Happy anniversary,
Bob. The Loop Top 10, the unofficial Loop Top 10. Thank you to Jeff O'Brien and one of his clients from Lift Bridge, Dan Schwartz. Thank you for the root beer and beer. The root beer is terrific. I don't drink beer, but...
I'd like to thank Dan for the beer.
I think the beer is delicious.
You liked it, too. And thank you particularly to all of our listeners over the last year and hopefully for the years to come. It's very much appreciated. It's you know, we've gotten almost on a daily basis, we pick up more and more people listening, and we greatly appreciate it. And thank you for a great year we've had, and as I said, we look forward to many more. We'll talk to you later.